join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
But in 2 weeks, Pastor Fowler will. Put your hands together and thank Pastor Fowler. Not next Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, he is going to talk about the subject of speaking in tongues. The question that I'm going to give you just a few minutes to get up, walk around the room, and talk about is why tongues? Now, before you start talking, this is also a chance for you to run back to the men's or women's room or to get you some coffee or to get you another one of those little cupcakes that Rhonda Hoover made. It's a chance for you to make connections with other people. But here's what I often hear from people that have been visiting Dominion for a while. They're usually here about 3 or 4 weeks when I hear it. They'll come up to me after a service and they'll say something that sounds a little bit like this. They'll say, "Are y'all an Assembly of God church?" And I'll say, "Well, yes, we are." And it's not that we've tried to hide that, but they're like, "Well, if I'd have known that, I would have never come the first time." Sometimes that question sounds a little bit different. They'll come and they'll say, "Y'all believe in speaking in tongues, don't you?" And I'll be like, "Well, yes, we do." And they're like, "I didn't believe in that. Had I known you did, I would have never come to this church." How many of you have ever been asked that type of question before, or maybe even asked that question? So why tongues? We're in a series that is emphasizing the holy power of God, which I've entitled A Countdown to Pentecost. And as we've been on this journey together, we've asked a lot of questions, and we've even taken some of the obstacles along the way, and we've discussed them out loud. So here's the question again. It's why tongues? This is your chance to meet other folks, run to the restroom, get you some coffee and another cupcake, or continue to hide yourself away from the rest of the congregation. But I really want us as a church on Wednesday night to practice getting to know more than just the two or three that we know. So I need some people to stretch out of their comfort zone and begin the discussion by standing to our feet and for the next couple of moments asking those around us, why tongues? Ready, set, go. If you don't know why, just tell people, "I have no clue." I'm a little concerned at those of you who never got to your feet and really just turned around and talked to the same two or three people that you always talk to. You know who you are. We're going to try this again next week, and you'll have a week to pray and fast about connecting. So we're going to continue this discussion as a group. Yes, we are an Assembly of God church, and we're very proud to be a part of the fellowship and to be under its covering. But our goal has not been to make you a member of an Assemblies of God church. We've wanted you to become a member of the body of Christ, to be a part of His family. We've wanted you to connect and feel His love through our family. That is our goal. It's never been to hide the importance of speaking in tongues, but how many of you know that tongues is more the fruit and not the root? Our goal shouldn't be to speak in tongues, in my opinion. It should be to seek Him with all of our heart and to experience His presence in its fullness. And I believe that if we'll make Him the object of our affection and adoration, if we'll seek Him in spirit and truth, then He'll answer a lot of the other things that come as a result, or as a result of His fruit growing in our lives. How many of you know it's not just enough to get filled with the Holy Spirit, that it's important to take that power and walk and keep in step with the Spirit? And that God calls us to spiritual maturity from the moment you and I feel the call of His salvation to us. Now, I'm going to ask you to join me in Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to join you at Hebrews chapter 5 after I read this testimony. When you arrive at Hebrews 5, you'll be looking for verse 12. I received this testimony last week, and I've been really excited about having a chance to read it. It's from a newer individual in our church, and she writes and says, "Pastor Greg, I wanted to share something that happened to me during the service last night as you had us pray." This is referring to last Wednesday night. She said, "You had us lift our hands as if receiving something. When I did that, I could smell something that smelled like smoke. Then I felt the middle of my hands warming, and it felt like flames moving and jumping in my hands. Not burning in a bad way, but just in a way that made me aware of what was happening in my palms. As I prayed, God told me that He was burning away the dross to make more room for His Spirit in me. Then I felt the heat move into my chest, purifying me to be able to love with the love of Christ. It was awesome. I have never experienced anything like that before. Just wanted to share with you and say thank you for allowing the Spirit to have freedom in our church. Not only do I think that you're one of the best preachers I've ever heard preach, but one of the best That was my handwriting. We are blessed to be a part of what God is doing and going to do at Dominion. Have a blessed day." I like to hear testimonies like that because it continues to help each of us in the confidence that God wants us to have in His moving. I think it's important that we're confident that He is amongst us, that He's moving, and that He is changing our lives one person at a time. Now, if you're just joining us, let me take just a moment to remind you what we talked about last week. As last week, I talked about a couple of the different ways that we can acknowledge and grow in God's presence and God's power. Our goal isn't just in this series for each of us to speak in the Spirit or to speak in tongues. It's that each of us would acknowledge and grow in God's presence and God's power. And last week I talked about two of the ways that we can do this. First of all, we can do this by committing ourselves to living a life of love and harmony. In just a moment, you're going to see the importance of committing to that lifestyle, because it's that lifestyle that says we have committed to becoming spiritually mature. We are no longer dependent on just the milk of God's Word, but we are hungry for the deeper things of God in the meat of His Word. So that's one of the ways that we can acknowledge and grow in God's presence and power. Another is by hungering for the Lord's manifested presence. Too often, I believe that many Spirit-filled individuals make the mistake of just pursuing power rather than committing themselves to growing in godly character. And I believe God's Word has a lot to say about growing into spiritual maturity. So before we read Hebrews 5, what was some of the discussion sounding like when you asked people around you, why tongues? What was some of the feedback that you got? This is that moment that I'm screaming quietly, "Someone please help me out," with an answer. Why tongues? Yes, ma'am. It's in the Bible. Great start.
Excellent.
Someone else, this side. Two answers on this side, you're behind two. Someone on this side. Thank you, Joel, for that smile. I knew you had something that you could share through your interpreter, Becky, of explaining why tongues. Very good. Joel got this side going. Someone else. Why tongues? It's a gift of the Spirit. Somebody break the tie. One more person and we'll read Hebrews 5. Why tongues? Yes, ma'am. It's a sign to the unbeliever. Well, in 2 weeks, Pastor John is going to bring to us a broader understanding and a personal application of what that brings to our life, of what that means to our life. And at the conclusion of the service, we're going to give those individuals who would like that opportunity to receive that gift. He's going to invite everyone to come to the altar, and we're going to have a time of concerted prayer for each of us experiencing that aspect of the Holy Spirit. So if God's Word has a lot to say about growing up in the Lord, of growing into spiritual maturity, I think it would be very wise for us to read some scripture that helps us understand what that looks like. And in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, we find in the New King James Version, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, a spiritual babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, or who are of spiritual maturity, that is, those who by reason of use, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." If you would join me in verse 12 and look at the phrase first principles. Here the writer is referring to the basic truths. He's referring to this in this phrase to the letters of the alphabet in writing, or to addition and subtraction tables in arithmetic. So first principles here refers to the elements that out of everything, everything else develops. These are the elements. These are the first things that everything else develops out of. Christ helped us to understand the element of truth, these basic truths, these most important truths of which everything else would flow, when in Matthew 22, verse 35, one of the Pharisees, one of the experts in the law, comes and seeks to test the Lord with a question. Here's the question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And then Christ sealed it by saying, "All of the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." Spiritual maturity, first principles of which everything else develops, has to be seen through the greatest commandment of all. And again, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all of your what? Heart, soul, and mind. And how many of you know you will perhaps lose your mind trying to love others with all of your heart and soul? There are those that will make it very difficult. I've heard many people in marriage tell each other, "I love you, but I'm not sure right now how much I like you." Ever have an experience like that with your spouse? You loved them, and you'd love to send them home to the Lord early. You'd like to see the rapture come quickly. My point is this evening, committing ourselves to growing in God's presence and God's power is far from a shallow, emotional form of Christianity. Sometimes people arrive at Spirit-filled churches and they look at this hunger for God's presence, and they see this commitment to growing in God's presence and the capacity that sometimes involves our emotions as it being something shallow. Like it's a shallow, emotional form of Christianity. But I'm here tonight to tell you that this kind of hungering for God's presence, this kind of committing yourselves to living a life of love and harmony, is a deep, life-changing, doctrinally sound life of godly disciplines that are built on the first principles of God's Word that should be producing a life of righteousness. Something is wrong when you and I claim to have the power and yet lack the righteousness in our daily lifestyle. lack that ability and willingness to love others. Thank you for the nodded heads and the three that are leaving now for the restroom. Page 2. Notice in verse 13 here. Go back to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. Because it uses another phrase here. It speaks of those, or speaks of them, they, who are unskilled in the word of righteousness. Now, the readers of this particular letter in Hebrews did not necessarily lack information concerning righteousness. They had the information. They knew what righteousness was. They knew what the law required of them. They knew what their lives were supposed to look like. So they didn't lack information. What they lacked was experience in practicing the information that they had. A good example of this is a prayer I prayed one time. I've only prayed this prayer one time. And I bet many of you out there have prayed this one prayer one time. Let's see if this one prayer sounds familiar. Oh Lord, give me patience, for I have need of patience. Of all the things that God gave me, patience was not one of them. He's in the process of giving it to me. I think that's partly why I live in League City and face the traffic problem every day, because every day I have an opportunity to grow in God's presence called patience. How many of you would say you too prayed for patience one time? Now, how many of you would raise your hand and say, I never prayed it because I saw someone else pray it, and I saw what happened, and I've been married to him for... Okay, so what they're saying here is that growth and maturity, this writer is saying, it comes when you and I practice God's word and God's presence. Now, here's something you'll never be able to avoid. People. That's profound. I'll say that again. You will never be able to avoid people. How many of you would agree with me when I say the world would be a much better place if people were more like? How many of you really think that? I'm probably there with you. This is the reason that I often joke about someday planting another church. It will be on a tropical island, and this time we're not going to use people. We're going to have a powerful church. People. People. They are who we get to practice righteousness on. And boy, there's some people that really make me feel like it's football season again in the spring and it's two-a-days. Because when I get around them, it's a workout. When they talk, how they talk, what they talk about, how they treat me or how they don't treat me, causes me, if I'm going to produce righteousness, to bite my tongue and taste blood. You know who you are here tonight. Raise your hand. Just go right ahead and go public. Let's rewind a little bit. Let's talk. Gabrielle, the fruit of the Spirit. Let's go there. You and Casey, tag team. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Let's get a working knowledge of those. Say them backwards now. If any two could, it would be the two of you. Okay. That's the fruit of what? Whose spirit? God's spirit. And what he loves to see is his spirit at work in us, working through us. And every day when you and I get up, we get to be around people. And we get to see just how much of his rightness and righteousness is at work in us as people we work with and work around and work through are used as his instruments and tools. There have been many people in my life. Many have come and many have gone. And through those individuals, I found God's instruments and tools. They could make me better or they could make me bitter. Who had the control over whether it became better or bitter? Is that a part of the fruit of the Spirit? Yes, it is. What part? You know, a lot of times you and I make the mistake of binding and rebuking an enemy that is not fighting us. Satan steps back and says, whoa, I have had nothing to do with that. Your lack of self-control got you in that place. You didn't use common sense. You're praying and asking God for a word that common sense would say, don't go there. It's like watching a scary movie. Why do they always open that closet door? Why are they still in the house? You know what it's like. You're in the theater, you're screaming, don't go in there! And they don't use their common sense. They don't listen to the crowd. What do? They insist on going somewhere they shouldn't be. And there's a lot of those areas in our life that you and I, friend, have been given this sound mind, common sense, that says, we can't go in there because if we go in there, it's going to kill us. It's really going to interrupt what God's trying to grow in us. See, the power of God is not just for the sake of feeling His presence here on Sunday. It's so that you and I can walk in His presence during the week. So that when we get in places that we shouldn't go into, we use that power to say to our common sense and the soundness of mind that He is teaching us to walk in according to His word, we will not go in there. I will not go there. I will not enter this conversation with that person because I know that person is out because I'm discerning. I know good and evil. I've read Hebrews 5. And because I am in tune with God's presence in me and God's power is at work in me, I know not to argue with her because I know if I get in an argument, nobody wins because she has already determined ahead of time that her whole goal is to stir me up. Her whole goal is to make me feel inferior. Her whole goal is to draw out my insecurities. Her whole goal is to get me stirred up so I'll act in such a way that she can justify her lack of righteousness. Don't go there. Obviously, it came from somewhere. It came as a result of individuals that went places they shouldn't have. And the enemy is constantly looking to take you into places that will cause God's presence to withdraw, or you feel like it withdraws. You're no longer withdrawing God's power to help you through these things. You are withdrawing other types of strength, which is your own, to fight this battle. So I think it's important for us to understand that in this Hebrew writing, it's not that they lacked the information on righteousness, it's that they lacked practicing it. And if enough people in a church would start practicing righteousness like we've practiced unrighteousness, what do you think would happen in a local church? What if a church said, I'm going to really commit to living the kind of life that produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? What do you think would happen in that church? I'm not talking about practicing love like this. Hey, Casey, I really love you, and that's why I'm telling you this. And then, boom, here comes the criticism. How many of you know a term called constructive criticism? And you believe in it as long as you're the one giving it. But it's a little harder to receive it. So what would happen if a church said, you know what, Holy Spirit, we are going to be hungering for your presence in such a way that it is going to wreck us for you in such a way that not only does it affect the way we live here together on Sunday, but the way we live our lives on Monday. What would happen to a community if people became that given to spiritual maturity? You think others would be drawn to the church? I think you're right. What do you think would happen? There'd be what? What kind of revival? Real revival. What do you think would happen?
Change the outside view of what's happening inside.
It would change the outside view of what's happening on the inside. Now, how many of you came to this church to be gossiped about? To be criticized? To be made fun of? Go ahead, raise your hand. Why do people come to church? If we ask the question, why tongues, and we did, why not grow that a little bit and ask ourselves, why church? Why church? Different people have different motives. Well, then let's look at what different motives they might have.
I think some people come just for a social experience, and they don't really want what could be there.
They come for a social experience. Do they bring rice cupcakes anymore?
Occasionally.
Occasionally. Because your daughter has fallen short of the glory of Pastor Greg. You don't call. You don't come by. There's no rice cupcakes on my... Hi, Dina. She works at Rise Cupcakes, and man, do they have great cupcakes. You say a social motive. Why church?
Straighten your life out.
Think that's true. Fellowship with those who believe the same as you do. To be encouraged in the word. To worship. What's awesome is I know exactly what you're talking about. So what is it that this church hopes for? What is it that you're here for? Yes, there's a social connection, and always will be. That's what makes coming to church great. Is getting to know people who have like values, like goals. Getting to know people that you can do life with, so to speak. So she kind of led us down this path. What kind of church are we hoping Dominion Church is going to be? Why are we here? What are we hungering for? Excuse me? The presence. Yes, ma'am. More of him. The word. To heal people. Faith, hope, and healing. Wished I'd written that. Ultimately to bring glory to God. So what keeps us from that? People. What about people? They're not perfect.
I think it's self that keeps us from that. Because we want to be number one. We want to get our word. We want to feel love. And we don't want to love others.
Wow.
It's self that keeps us from
God. It's self that keeps us from God. Many times it's selfishness that keeps us from what's right in our life. For many years, I've counseled husbands and wives who will spend all of their energy to fight for their own personal rights instead of use their energy for what's right. So how will this church use its energy? That's the question. Every time we get together, we have energy that we can use. What do we want to use our energy for?
Grow the kingdom.
Grow the kingdom.
Bring the word of God.
Bring the word of God.
Making stronger believers.
So you're kind of going back to Hebrews where he writes and he says, it's not that they lack an understanding of righteousness. It's not that they lack an understanding of what a church should be about. It's that they're not practicing it. So my question and my challenge tonight is, what are you going to practice? Too often a church sits back and is waiting for someone else to practice righteousness, to practice confession, to practice repentance, to practice loving, to practice bringing peace, to practice self-control, to practice the power of God, to practice the presence of God. And everybody's waiting for somebody. Somebody's waiting for everybody. So nobody ever steps out and becomes a catalyst and says, you know what, I have come as a natural human being in search of a supernatural servant and Savior. I have come to be touched by a supernatural God who said, in Him all things are possible. I am here tonight to tell you, you are in a church that has an opportunity, that are in a moment, in a season, that if you and I will come together around God's Word and pursue His presence and pursue His godly character, He will come and He will visit with us in such a way that He will dramatically allow this earth to be experiencing some of His heaven. Now, here's what I find when I read God's Word. There are passages of Scripture that really can mess your life up. Have any of you experienced that? I want to give you the Proverbs challenge. Every day when you wake up, ask somebody, what is the date today? Well, if today's date is the, then read the 9th Proverbs. So I'm reading this Proverbs, kind of minding my own business, when Proverbs 6 jumps out and says some things in verses 12 through 19. And it's a passage that really gets us thinking about growing in righteousness. It's one of those passages that is filled with God's design and God's desire. And it kind of looks in its way at life the same way the Hebrew writer does. To do more than just think about information, but to practice it. And this kind of tells you what happens to a life that doesn't practice the information of God. This is how that life is lived. Proverbs 6 says in verse 12, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eye, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers, perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually, and he sows discord. Therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. We always talk about Acts chapter 2 and how the presence of the Holy Spirit comes, and it comes suddenly. Do you understand that calamity too comes suddenly? And there are just some haunting words here. Suddenly that wicked man shall be broken without remedy. These 6 things the Lord what? He hates. Yes, 7 are an abomination to him. A proud look. Is that what people come to church to find? Is that what God comes to find? A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Now, I said all of this to recap last week and to connect it to tonight. Because here's what I want you to take a hold of. I want you to take a hold of the fact that every day you and I have an opportunity to create an atmosphere in our life to invite God's presence and power to join us. Or if we're not careful and we cease to practice the information of God's Word, we create an environment that keeps God's presence and God's power from working in our lives. It's just that plain and simple. You and I have this war that's going on. And every day you and I have certain disciplines that we practice. Some good, some not so good. Some that invites God's presence. Some that endues your life with presence. And suddenly God will just overwhelm you with His possibilities. And then some that create distance from His presence. Distance from His power. Distance from His possibilities. As a youth pastor for almost 14 years, and some of you were in our youth ministry, and you'll remember many of these Saturday night prayer meetings that we would have at the church, and we would go into an upper room and literally stay there for hours and pray, and the power of God would come, and it would dramatically change people's lives. And yet I would see a lot of our teenagers never connect to that, and their parents encourage a lack of connection by choosing connecting all these other things in their life. Only to see then those that chose to be disconnected suddenly get themselves in trouble, and their parents run to us and in one service want us to fix what they had disconnected from for all those years of their life. I'm talking to you about the power of creating atmosphere in your life tonight. That it's important for you to understand that this life of power has a real connection. And with that connection comes some very real disciplines. I want to start by saying that God never intended the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be relegated to a privileged few. I don't believe He ever intended for it to be difficult. He did, however, expect you and I to seek him with all of our hearts. And this creating an atmosphere for God to move in our lives doesn't have to be spooky, and it doesn't have to be mysterious, and it doesn't have to be just for the chosen few. That this creating an atmosphere that attracts the Holy Spirit of God can take place every day in your life to such a degree that you walk in a personal Pentecost and you have a lifestyle that bears the fruit of the Spirit at work in your lives. But it's going to come with a cost, and that cost is to pursue him. To seek him. And when you do, there are some powerful things that happen. I'm going to give you some recommendations. I'm going to give you some suggestions. And they're not going to be in any certain order. And they're not intended to make receiving the Holy Spirit baptism mechanical. Because being baptized in the Holy Spirit is one of the highest relational things you'll ever experience with God. And I believe that's why the enemy so throws obstacles at this experience. He leaves people beat up and beat down and made to feel that you're not holy enough to receive the Holy Spirit of baptism. Or many of you may have been told things that kept you from it. But I want you to have a scripturally sound understanding of what the Holy Spirit wants for your life. The first thing I want to encourage you to do is to create an atmosphere of praise by worshiping and adoring the Lord. It seems like you can't separate this from Scripture because the disciples did this prior to Pentecost. Go with me to Luke chapter 24 now. Now, as you're going to Luke 24, keep in mind that the disciples, they were commanded to stay in the city of Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And they were endued with the promise of the Holy Spirit according to Acts chapter 1 and Luke 24. Here we go. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. In case you're wondering where we went. Are some of you still wondering? Luke chapter 24, verse 36. Luke 24 says in verse 36, "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe, for joy and marveled, he said to them, 'Have you any food here?' So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and he ate in their presence. Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses in these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait or tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high.' And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. Again, that's one of the things that I would encourage all of us to do on a continual basis. And that is to praise the Lord, to worship him, to bring glory to the Lord. It seems to open up the heavens. It seems to invite his presence. And this exercising of praising and worshiping God is very, very important to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's very important to learn to speak praise in an audible voice and not just in your mind. I was reading of a story of a young man who was 15 years old, and he was at a youth camp, and he was praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he tells this story as a 48-year-old man who had just been baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that at 48 years old, he went to an altar, or he came to an altar just like this, seeking the baptism, and as he began to pray, somebody encouraged him to speak. If he's feeling something or hearing something audibly in his mind, to speak those words. And as he did, the baptism came very easily. And he began to just pray in the Holy Spirit. And later, as they talked to him about it, he said, when I was 15 years old at a youth camp, I had that same experience, but I was afraid to speak the words and the thoughts that were in my mind. I was afraid that I was giving myself over to the enemy. And so I refused that moment of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I've lived all these years without that endowment of power. Some of you are going to be in the next few weeks coming to the altars here and giving opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to come fully informed. You're not going to be brought out of great emotion, but great information. Because when you come to a Holy Spirit-filled church, you don't check your brain at the door and then pick it up on the way out. I know many of you, and this is one of the most highly educated groups of people I know. You are sitting with very, very high intellect people. They didn't check their brain at the door when they got baptized with the Holy Spirit. God moved through that powerful brain that they would be endued with this power from on high. And here's this young man at 15 that could have lived all those years with the endowment of the Holy Spirit, but didn't because he was afraid of what he heard in his mind, only to then at 48 years old begin to verbalize out loud his praise. I think it's important for us to kind of practice this right now. What I want you to do is not pray in the Spirit. I just want you to praise. And I want you to do it with your silencer on. I don't want anybody to say anything, but I want you just to just close your eyes and begin to praise the Lord. Fill your mind with praises. Hear yourself bringing glory to God, thanking God. You're creating a life, an environment of living. That attracts God's presence. There's a lot of other thoughts that you think on that many, many times detours you away from the presence of God, leads you to Proverbs 6. Now, I want you to practice thinking thoughts that attract God by praising Him in your mind. I want to get us used to being an audible church. Now, quietly, I want you to begin to verbalize out loud. It should be a silent but heard sound in this room. Begin to whisper those praises. Begin to hear yourself just saying, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I just praise you, Lord. I just glorify you, Lord. You're a great Lord, great God. You are my Alpha. You're my Omega. You're my beginning. I want you to hear your voice. And more than you hear your voice, now I want you to turn it up a little bit louder because others need to hear your voice. You're going to see in just a moment why that was so important at Acts chapter 2. Now this may be uncomfortable to your natural being, but it's very comfortable to that spirit within you that raised Christ from the dead. You're just praising God. You're just thanking God. When other people hear you say it, it encourages them. Now just the ladies. Men, let's listen to our ladies. Praise the Lord. I would have thought the volume would have been a little bit higher. Let me turn the ladies up just a minute. The Hispanic in me likes everything a little bit louder. From my clothes and the colors I wear to the chrome on my car to the sound of my stereo. Ladies, let me hear you praise the Lord. Now, ladies, we're going to let the men jump in. Oh, do you hear the men in this church? Pastor Eli Sunday was just amazed by the men in this church. He couldn't believe how many men were in the altars. I hear some of our men actually praising the Lord. How about you, ladies? Men, we've screamed louder than that on the golf course. We've praised louder than that at Baskin-Robbins. Now let's all put it together and we just praise you, Lord. We just go for it. With an audible voice, we praise you. With an audible voice, we glorify you. We don't have to do this. We want to do this. We thank you for the freedom that at any moment we can go public with our praise. We may not be worthy, but you are, and your worthiness gives us invitation and opportunity to praise you. We have a few that have grown weary. Let me continue to finish. One of my goals has been to make this very interactive. Because here's what I see happening in Assemblies of God churches and what I see happening in generations. When you start talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, those who've had it, received it, and been taught it, do this. I won't learn anything tonight. Again, I'm going back to Hebrews. It wasn't that they lacked the knowledge of righteousness. It was that they lacked practicing righteousness. Can I tell you, there will never be a day that you and I are old enough that it's no longer necessary to practice the presence of God. Oh, I know all that. Oh, it's for the next generation. And what's happening in American Assembly of God churches is one generation, the generation in front of me, grows quiet and they're not passing the baton down to the next generation. They're passing down expectation, but not information. Emotionalism, but not experience. And that builds an anemic audience and not an equipped army. I am here today to remind you again that you are a spirit-filled audience with the purpose of rising up and becoming an army that casts their values and their vision towards the heavens from whence cometh their help. We will not be silent on our watch, but we will stand and with audible voices take the baton of the precious baptism of the Holy Spirit and we'll give it to the next generation and we'll teach them how to create an environment that attracts the presence, the power, and the purity of a holy God. Don't tell me in a dead place to be alive. Show me how to live. Show me the money. Pastor Fowler has seen this very same thing. The Fowlers have traveled, and even after retirement, have seen many churches where people are just sitting there lethargic and quiet in their faith. Can I tell you, faith is not a spectator sport. Get out of the bleachers and off the bench and get back into the field. Get back on the field and take your faith and learn the power of praising in an audible voice and not just in your mind, not just sitting on your hands, but they were made to be up here. Okay, therapy session's over. So let me take you somewhere else that's very familiar with you and for you. You don't have to turn there, but it says when the day of Pentecost had fully come. How much did it come? Fully. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound. A what? A sound. From heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, godly men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused because everyone heard them speak. Heard them. What? How many of you know when I sometimes act confused, like I don't have the answer? It's not that I don't have the answer. It's that I want you to make sure you're engaging in the answer, that you recognize that you are a part of the answer. It would be very, very difficult for someone to come and tell me that the Holy Spirit is not real, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is just a big con. It would be impossible for somebody to tell me that that's not necessary. And even more impossible for them to tell me that's not spiritual. Because can I tell you, the most spiritually deep things came in my life as a result of fully surrendering myself and allowing the Spirit of God to wholly, fully come and let me experience a personal Pentecost. Amen. You talk about bringing my mind, my mouth into the same place with his heart. It came when he baptized me with his power. And how I knew it was I heard myself speaking in tongues. How people around me knew it had come, they heard me speaking in tongues. We create an atmosphere for God to come by praising and worshiping him out loud. Out loud. And I think it's important that you and I conclude tonight by just spending some time praising, worshiping, and praying out loud. Out loud. I'm wanting you to see there's scriptural precedence to it. And more than just precedence, there's a priority for it. And not just a priority, but there's a purpose in certain things being done out loud. Now I want to practice this. And we're going to do it a couple different ways because I want you to really grab it and I want you to really see it. I want you to see how important it is to verbalize your faith. If I want to witness to, we'll start here. If I want to witness to these two girls, I want to tell them about Jesus Christ, how effective am I going to be like this? Is that not working? Other than you think I have a tick or something badly wrong from a car wreck, something's not right. Does this work? Sitting at church every Sunday like this. How effective is this? Or how about this one? This one I get to see sometimes. All of you that sit by the pole, you'll not want to sit after this. How effective is this, telling people Jesus is your Lord and is your Savior? Let's just praise the Lord. Oh, let's not. How effective is this? How effective is this? Do you understand what I'm talking about here? It's about getting yourself in a position to receive. And to receive means that you and I have to actively involve ourselves in creating an atmosphere for God's presence to come. Here's another way to say it. When we realized that Pastor Dean and the praise team had been given an invitation to lead the district council in music, this ought to make anybody in the church who's ever been coached by pastor feel a little bit better. She will tell you that I sat down with her and we talked and I said, you know what, as I travel, I see some things that set certain praise teams apart from others. And many, many times, it's body language that makes all the difference in the world. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to videotape the praise team. And I remember my wife's big, beautiful brown eyes like, And we're going to see something. And Dina will tell you that for years I've been talking about this. And so stay with me for a second. I know I'm a little bit after 8, but it's just a little bit. And really, I come from New Mexico, so it's just a little bit after 7. So the reality is, We videotaped the praise team several different times. Tom's in on it, so I would have somebody to blame if it didn't work. So we videotaped the praise team, sat down with them, and they started watching themselves. Praise team, what'd you see? That's better than I'd hoped for. Talk to me. Brian, you want to add anything? Wasn't appealing. Why? Thank you, Sunday, but you're not in the praise team. Go ahead, Brian. No cookies for me after church. Okay, Brian. Oh, he killed it. It's taken me 45 minutes to say that is what you and I have a responsibility to present. You and I have been given the responsibility as those who know him to present him in such a way that people would want that they would be attracted to that, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't something in this church to fear. It's not something of the devil. It's a precious gift, and we are to present it in such a way that it is a gift, and it's a gift of comfort. It's a gift of counsel. It's a gift of power. It's a gift of joy, and yet some of the meanest, saddest people in the whole world are Assembly of God Spirit-filled believers. Does anybody have a nitro pill? I think I might need one after that. Something's wrong when you and I don't make him attractive. As I listened to the praise team, I began to realize and hear them say, I thought I looked different than that. See, a lot of times we know our heart, or we think we do. We know the motives in our heart, and we think we're coming across in such a way that's attractive. And the whole praise team, if you watch for about 2 months, they look like windshield wipers up on the stage because they knew the big eye was watching them. The all-seeing eye was watching them. And especially over here, I'd watch, and here would be Natalie. She'd be there with her blonde little hair, and she'd be smiling, and she'd be like, am I right? And they'd look at me like, well, how am I doing? And one day Renee was smiling, and I had to go up after praise team and say, who are you? I don't know who you are. And what have you done with Renee? And he's like, what? And I'm like, you're smiling. Now I'm having fun at their expense, and they're smiling. But how attractive are you? You know, eventually, it might take me 2 days, but I would sew this up. How attractive is Christ in us? It's easy to say in us, but it's not always as easy to say in me. How attractive is Christ in me? Does the new people even want to get to know me? Or is there the sign on my face that says, beware of the dog? She bites. And not just to each other, but come on, church. Really, how attractive are we to him? Really. If we are to hunger for his manifested presence, if we really want him to come, you know what I think it looks like? I think it looks like in second service when Pastor Clint gave the altar call. And many of us were in these altars crying out to God and seeking him. After he left, he called me back and he said, I've never seen that many people over 50 years old that hungry for God in one place, in one accord. He said, God is there. Our generation over 50 has stepped forward. Let's go with them. Let's go back to loving God with all of our heart. And let's become attractive to each other. And let's become attractive to God again. And let's quit fighting over whose territory it is. I grew up with two sisters. We'd go on a trip and we'd get in the seat behind my mom and dad. I'd always fight for the one right behind my dad who was driving because I know there's no way he could get around and hit me. But we took the whole joy out of vacation because from the time we got in that car to the time we got to where we were going, we griped and we bellyached and we complained and we criticized each other and we told on each other. She hit me. Oh, he looked at me funny and, oh, Greg made a face at me. Which was all true. I did. If you grew up with the Antichrist and the Beast in your family, you would too. But I feel God requiring your pastor to pastor you a little bit, shepherd you a little bit. In case you didn't catch it, tonight is spanking night. How many of you feel like you got spanked a little bit? Oh, how many of you think somebody else did and you're so glad? It's about time. That's usually about how we listen at church. Oh, hallelujah. Greg's finally preaching to Brother Fowler. I knew, even though he's a pastor, I had a funny feeling about him. Maybe that funny feeling's not about Brother Fowler. Maybe it's about you, Sunshine. You are not all that in a bag of chips. But really, how attractive are we? Becky, were you going to throw something in? How many of you would give that generation permission to make some noise?
Amen.
Let's make some. Lord, I just throw my whole heart into my praise right now. I don't even need a microphone to praise you loud, God. And Lord, I thank you for the saving grace. I thank you for your mercy that endures forever. I thank you, you saved a wretch like even me. I thank you that you adopted me. I thank you that you didn't abandon me. I thank you that you never leave me and that you've never forsaken me. And I thank you that I'm in a church that believes radically in you. I thank you that I'm a believer that will radically serve you. I thank you, God, for the power that can come when we create an attractive presence for you and for each other. And Lord, tonight I thank you that I can come to a church that I can use my outside voice in, that I can praise you and let everything in me praise you. I'm not going to let some rock and roll group at a concert get my best voice. My name is on, my life is on the rock. My name's been written in the roll, and you will get my loudest praise. Nothing else, and no one else gets my loudest praise. Now you praise him that way. Somebody dare stand up and praise him that way. Somebody break the spirit of intimidation. Somebody break out of the spirit of limitation and insecurity. Somebody dare to be loud in your praise. Somebody dare to be thought crazy. Begin to audibly pray in the Spirit. Begin to cry out to the Holy God. We are here. Scream.
We are exercising. We are exercising our spiritual faith. This is not shallow. This is not emotional. This is faith being practiced. This is faith creating an environment and an atmosphere for God to draw near and for His power to do in our lives what we cannot do for ourselves. Now, Lord, we commit to carrying this power into our daily living. We are going to be messengers from a holy throne and a holy God. And we are going to walk not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty. And we will be as trees of righteousness. We will be the planting of the Lord. And we will bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control everywhere we go. And we are going to be infectious. And people are going to see the joy of the Lord on our face and want to ask questions. Where does your strength come from? And we will say, from the house of the Lord, from the Lord of my house, who is Jesus Christ, a risen Savior. He has risen in my heart. He has endued in me His power. And I am walking in a promise. And I will walk until He comes for me and returns. Thank you, Becky Fortenberry. Thank you. Did that feel good to say that? You know, it needed to be said. I'm sorry? You've been thinking that for a while. See, your faith speaks quietly for itself, and then there comes a time that audibly it must be heard. And when you began to speak, I felt in my spirit that people were being broken of a spirit of intimidation and restriction and limitation, that people had just sat back and stayed silent for a variety of reasons, many times out of insecurity and intimidation. So what will they think? Ever hear that in your ear before? Well, now the big question isn't what they think. What does he think? What does he think? I think he thinks, and he thinks that I think, that if God be for you. God bless you. This concludes my introduction. Well, well.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.